Hey guys, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show, wherever you get it, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. Thanks for all your iTunes comments and ratings. If you haven't done so yet, do it right now. Click on that fifth star on iTunes. Comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. We appreciate all the love and support and feedback. Today's episode, very special episode. A comedian, just one of the heavy hitters in the game. Literally, there is not a set I have seen him do in the last 5 years where he doesn't fucking destroy. He's a beast. He's one thing away from really blowing the fuck up, and everybody knows that who sees him. In this episode, we get into his time in the military, his family impact on his life, how he met Damon Wayans and got into the Wayans clan, starting comedy. It's just really one of those episodes that has everything. It's a pretty complete episode. And we also talk about my nieces and the kind of the, I don't know, the origins of the recess teacher and our views on that. He's an amazing comic, an even better dude, and he's making his ALN debut. I'm talking about Vincent O'Shana. Everybody calls him Vinny. He's the man. Again, he just brought it hard on this episode. So enjoy the hell out of this one. And follow Vinny on Twitter at Vincent O'Shana, O-S-H-A-N-A. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast on Twitter, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, VincentOshana.com for all of Vinny's tour dates, AdamRayTV.com for my tour dates. And speaking of which, this Saturday, July 30th, 8 p.m., the Hollywood Improv, baby. I'm headlining the Hollywood Improv. This Saturday, July 30th, 8 p.m., get your tickets at improv.com or adamraytv.com. Stacked lineup, Amir Kay from Mad TV, Dane Cook, Harlan Williams, Melissa Villasenor, and my boy Michael Anthony hosting. Get your tickets now. This will sell out. It's a packed lineup. 8 p.m., Saturday, July 30th, Hollywood Improv. Come see your boy headline with some very funny friends. And all my other tour dates in town for the summer as we continue to shoot Mad TV, which premieres tomorrow night. Holy shit, it's here. July 26th, 9 p.m. CW. Tomorrow night, DVR it, watch it, watch it again. Tell all your friends. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. I can't wait for this first episode to air. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. CW. There it is. Boom. It's here. I'm in town all summer. All my tour dates, AdamRayTV.com. Brad Williams is in Montreal for the next 10 days. He's up there killing it, doing a bunch of shows. So if you're in Montreal, go see Brad. And, of course, get all his tour dates at bradwilliamscomedy.com. EstoyMerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com. Hats, shirts, mugs, posters. Get them. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them and all that good stuff. We've got some stickers on the way, too, so that'll be exciting. Man, so many good episodes on the way. As I've mentioned before, we got some killer guests in the pipeline. Working on a few others. Brad is in Montreal. Already lining up some dope guests. So a good summer ahead. Thank you so much for tuning in and telling your friends. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. Give us that fifth star rating. Comment on the iTunes page. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. Mad TV tomorrow, CW, 9 p.m. That's it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Vincent O'Shana.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's about last night.
Oh, flappers.
Well, you know, it's like at some point there's got to be somebody who starts a comedy club and goes, I'm not going to call it something so quintessential comedy. Like,
right. Yeah.
I mean, like.
Like a Just for Laughs. Like, I know it's like a festival and shit, but like.
But
Just for Laughs.
Like Go Bananas in Cincinnati. Even. I mean.
Come on. Come on.
You might as well. I mean, Ha and Flappers, I love you both. But yeah. You might as well call yourself we the Ha Ha Chuckle Fuck Fuck Fuck. Because
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
the giggle, giggle, go for yourself.
Giggle, giggle.
The giggle, well, giggle, ha-ha, tickle, tickle on the rib. Just sit down and shut the fuck up and laugh.
I mean, see, I would like that title. I would like to say, oh, yeah, where were you tonight? I was at the shut the fuck up and laugh.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. I know a guy. I know the manager there.
Robbie?
Robbie, dude, what a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but just because that kind of gives them the information, they need to know right there.
Hate your life, fuck your boss, come here and laugh, and fuck.
Have you had, how long have you been doing stand-up?
I think it's like 10 or 11 years as of now.
Gotcha.
And I still don't like, I think I have like one joke that I like, but I really don't even like it. But it takes a while to like come up with what are you really trying to say? Once all those years come out where you're just up there, you want to make them laugh, you don't want to bomb. It goes from not wanting to bomb to I'm saying what the fuck works. I'm trying to do this, but then after a while you're like, okay, now I know my voice. And I've seen you. I saw you. Me and you start. Well, you started a little bit after me.
I
saw
2007.
You.
But yeah, but
yeah, and you started changing to become who the fuck you are now.
Yeah, and it's you're right though. It's like, I mean, those first few years, I'm just like trying to get laughs and then like you belong in doing, like getting some, so that you feel like when you're on these shows, you're like, okay, cool, I'm supposed to be here. But and then you have, you know, zealous amount of confidence because you're like, I just crushed it to haha. And you're like,
yeah, man.
But you were doing a Folgers bit.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, which I fucking love. I love that joke.
I mean, that was my staple for a while.
Sure. And then Brad, because I wasn't around for Brad, but I saw Brad's fucking special, and Brad actually shot something that was special because that word, I think I talked to you this about it. They've been throwing that word around. So they should come up with a word for specials that aren't special, like just regulars. Like, this guy just shot his half an hour.
He's regular.
It didn't do shit. For real. Like,
he just shot his regular.
He shot a regular. Shot an actual special. Like, it was something where, like Theo shot a special. Yes. That's something where I sat, watched the entire fucking thing. I saw yours with my sister in Colorado. She's in the military. I watched it. It was fucking funny. A lot of these, I'm not a hater. I give all of them I sit down. I objectively sit down, play the shit.
You watch all of them?
I shut it off after. If I can't bear 10 minutes, I'm done. I can't.
I know.
And there are ones where that happens.
And that's fine because comedy is subjective.
100%. I don't hate. I just go for me because now, and it sucks for us, and I think you guys are in the same boat. Acting and stand-up, now we've been so submerged in this shit. When you see something, now we're so intricate to the writing, the this, that. Some movies that people are like, are you serious? I fucking love that movie. And you're like, I really didn't. It didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
Or like that special. It wasn't special.
It was a regular.
I didn't laugh, bro. Like right now, there's a lot of specials on my Netflix where if you go to the special right now and it says resume, it's literally just a little white chunk of watching it. It's so fucked
it's like
up.
It's like 5 minutes and you're
maybe three, and I'm like, I can't. I just can't do it.
But you know what? And we're inundated with so much comedy that to sit down and to keep our attention, we're probably going to be a little harsher critics than most.
100%.
But at the same time, because comedy is subjective, I'm not going to sit and watch an hour of something that I wasn't into for 7 minutes.
100%. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah, like I'll give TV shows 2 episodes, 3 episodes, maybe.
Yep.
And after that, I mean,
you're right.
And maybe that's not fair, but at the same time, I only have so much time on this planet.
No shit.
I don't want to be sitting there watching some stuff that it's like, okay, I've seen this bit.
Is that a sign of getting older where you get more precious with your time?
100%. I swear to God, I was driving here, and in my head, well, I smoked, but in my head, I was going, if time is money, I swear to God, so then money is can create time. Like if you have, I'll just think it out of my head, and it is, and it's true. And the problem is, Brad, and you nailed it. If I don't like it, thanks, brother. If I don't like it, that doesn't. I hate when people go, "Oh, dude, you're just a hater." No, that's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
I didn't sit there and go, "Man, fuck that guy."
No,
I went, I can't sit there and listen to it. Yes. I can't. I'm sorry.
Yes, they're.
I get hit by a bus tomorrow, and I don't want the last thing I watch to be your regular.
That pretty much sums it up.
Like when he's gonna say something. I should have watched Bill Burr. oh, fuck, what did he watch?
Oh,
it sucks, dude.
But you know what? Time does, or money does afford you time, because and Bill Gates is a living, breathing example. When I read this article that he was like trying to turn shit into drinking water.
What the fuck?
You know
yes,
about
he
that?
Did.
Yeah, I heard it briefly.
What is that? That is, by the way, that is the epitome of so much money that you are literally have so much time on your hands that you're sitting there taking a shit being like, I wonder if I could drink this fucking shit. I wonder if I could literally go work out and then come back and take my shit and put it through some sort of filtering system and drink it.
And he did it.
Because you did it?
Oh, he did it.
He did it.
He drank the first
shit water.
Well, by the way, he drank the first glass of water. You think you're going to really do that and be like, you know, I made drinking water out of shit. And you're like, wow, that's crazy. One of his buddies, and he's like, yeah, here's the first glass. And you're like, no. Fuck you, dude. It's your shit. Yeah. I don't care if it is clean water.
You just calls his secretary over like, Angela, come over here.
You know that first jug was a very hesitant, like, because you know people were watching. I wonder if anybody was there or he was like, all right, everybody get the fuck out. I wanted to be in here for the first one. Like,
you do it by yourself.
You have to.
Well, also, by the way, the first sip, he probably like overcompensated and was like, this is really good. And it's like, it's okay, like, dude.
This tastes just like Nutella. Yeah, okay, calm down.
Come on.
It's still water. Nobody like,
come on, Bill. Yeah,
and he probably did like a too big of like a...
Pretty much like every first actor when they go for a Coke commercial, you know, it's just like so refreshing.
Yeah.
Well, that would be the next move, by the way. That's, if you're making drinking water out of shit, you need an ad campaign.
So fucking.
What is the ad campaign?
Well, I mean, like Sprite or somebody's gonna sponsor it, right? They're gonna be like. It's going to be like a Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
like
Evian,
a Super Bowl commercial.
Aquafina is a Coke product.
Coke
should
product.
Buy shit water. Also, why wouldn't Coke want to be in business with Gates?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
So is the commercial just open up on some guy literally sitting on the toilet like we've heard you do your best thinking on the can.
Yeah.
Now you can do even more.
That's so
and just have like a
funny.
Poor, sorry person over the side, like, I need water. I've got something for you. Yep. Honey, bring me my beans.
I gotta take a that's fucking
or
funny.
Or you're on the sidelines of like a football game, right? And they run out of Gatorade and water. And they're sitting there like, and the guys are coming around, like, Coach, man, I'm so parched.
Yeah.
He's like, Larry, bring me the Taco Bell quesadillas. They get a little Taco Bell plug.
So
they run to the back, take a giant football player sized dump, come back with like a giant fucking, and then they douse the coach with it.
Well, what if they fuck up and that's the wrong one?
Oh no!
And they cover the coach with shit,
and he's still cool. He's like,
he won the Super Bowl.
Why did we put the shit in the same Gatorade tub as the water?
What the fuck is going on?
That was not smart of us to do.
That is fucking brilliant. That's funny. Bill Gates better fucking hear this because it's fucking brilliant.
I mean, but like, do you ever hear stuff like that and go, "Wow, I tell jokes for a living. I'm doing nothing with my life."
I know,
because he had to literally be sitting down, and it was just like. That's how much time you have, and you're just going, dude, you know what? That's impossible if you think about it. He's the one that went, I'm going to do it.
Well, I think the less amount of responsibility you have, the more time you have for your mind to wander.
100%.
You know, so 100%. He's sitting there taking a shit, not thinking like, I got to go do a set tonight at Flappers, and then giggle, fuck yourself, fuck. You know, and he's like, I got to in and do this podcast, and I got to do this. He's just taking a shit, and his next thing is, when I'm done taking this shit, I'll probably wipe my ass. Yeah. That's his next move. And after I wipe my ass, I'll probably flush it. Maybe I won't. I got a toilet.
Yeah, maybe I'll leave it. Maybe it'll break down, and I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go get some Papa John's, or maybe I'll fucking just call up Papa John and have him come over and make me a fucking calzone.
I want it made in this fucking house. And happy fuck.
I hope Bruce, Jesus. I hope Bill Gates' life pretty much is Bruce Almighty. Where it, like,
that's so fucking
like
funny.
That scene where he's just like, I want some coffee. Juan Valdez.
Yeah,
like,
right like, here. That like, has to be his life. Dude.
I assume that's his life. It like, you know what? I could go for some Southern cooking with just a hint of racism. Paula Deen.
Yeah, Paula, get in here. Dude, they have that power. I get 100%. Yeah. Dude, he has too much money. I personally think, and I get a lot of people trying to talk shit because they go, well, if they earned it, nobody should have that much money. There's so many people out there that could just. A little.
Oh, it's
a
crazy.
I know that they give. I'm not saying they're not generous, but dude, your children's children's children's. I can keep going. They're not going to spend. What is he worth? Is he a? He's a multi-billionaire, right?
He's got
Putin. Vladimir billion. Putin's a trillionaire. Like they said that this cat's on legitimately a trillion.
Oh yeah. I guess you get to a certain point where you're living that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like I mean, it's why these athletes and celebrities go broke because you get accustomed. But it's like Wesley Snipes before he went broke. I doubt you were accustomed to the lifestyle that you started living.
100%.
So it's like, but, and I don't know, there's just, in A-Rod getting like $252 million, it's like, fine if you got that for your skills.
Yeah.
But like,
you need probably, like, even to live the lifestyle that you were living.
What, 50 max?
50 maybe.
If you want to get a great dope house where, and not worry about anything where your money's making
and
money.
And not worry for, yeah. about anything for, but, like, just don't gamble. Make it illegal for, like, athletes to gamble, maybe.
Yeah,
like,
why not?
I mean, like, Jordan even. It's like, dude, yeah, like.
I heard he's a maniac.
I know. Yeah. But like, God, but yeah. give, I
playing
mean,
golf, playing golf.
This is my, yeah, this is my favorite Michael Jordan gambling story.
Okay.
He would bet other members of his team
okay.
that his bag would come off the jet first.
Shut
but
up.
He would slip the baggage guy.
Oh, that's gangster.
A 50.
That's
before
fucked.
He got on the flight. Like, hey,
that's gangster.
Make sure my bag
make sure
is out first.
Comes out first.
And then he would bet everyone $100.
Like
$1,000.
He's
like
a gambling maniac. He's
yeah,
a junkie.
But like, that's not even gambling because you rigged the game.
Yeah.
Like you're literally just fucking your friends
yeah,
out of
what
money.
A dick. What a dick. And like, it's not like he needs the money, too.
No, he's fucking jump man.
You know what? I'm taking these Jordans off right now. But dude, it's weird. I don't know if you guys saw. It's so random that we talked about that. I just watched. I'm pretty sure you've seen it. 30 for 30.
Which one?
The one with Henry Hill, the no. shaving points from Boston.
Oh.
What?
I haven't seen that one. I love 30 for 30.
Dude, yeah. I'm telling you
and
right now.
I love
now,
blue chips.
One of my
which
favorites.
Is all about point shavings.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Let me think of the name. It was 30 for 30. It's Boston College. It's gonna hit me right now. I saw it on my, it was on my Netflix. Dude, it
Ben,
it's gonna,
can you pull it up?
Yeah, but can you find out what the 30 for 30 on Netflix is about the Boston shaving points? Because, dude, this is this moment. You know, because Netflix is like, to me, I love it. Because, I mean, I have Netflix, HBO Go show. There's nothing really on there. It's
you,
like,
don't want, you don't have a TV, huh?
No, I have to. I don't have cable.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
You're done.
I'm done. I'm not plugged in, which is good. I mean, my news and everything I get is CNN. I have all
yeah,
the outlets, but
you know what? You're not missing out. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. How many channels do I need?
News. It's like, also, I don't know, man. It just bums me out. Like,
yeah,
another
just,
a kid got hit by a bus.
It's no positive.
A woman got a disease from a syringe she sat on accidentally on
yeah,
the bus
yeah,
that
so,
hit the girl.
Yeah. Oh God. A new mosquito from we don't know where has this new shit and it's killing little.
I'd rather just get bitten by it than not know about it and be afraid of it.
<That's> it. And get what happened to fucking Adam, dude? We have no fucking clue.
And he doesn't know
floor.
Either.
No.
He literally swatted at a gnat. Turned out to be a mosquito.
Yeah.
Tripped over his fruit by the foot wrapper.
Yeah. And his last words were, "Don't watch what's his name's
regular." He ties it all together.
But did he find out the name for it? Playing for the Mob. So Henry Hill from Goodfellas, the real dude, is getting interviewed. The whole thing, dude. They went up to, because Boston College was fucking number one then. And this is what I was just laying, dude, literally laying there going through maybe 20 minutes of just let me find documentary, and I saw that one. Dude, it'll blow your mind the way that they went up to these college kids. They're like, "Hey, you like money?" And the kid's like, "Yeah." And
yeah,
he's like,
I'm
"If you
fan.
Don't do this, I'm going to break your fucking legs." That's exactly. They went up to a guy and they put him in a hotel room and they're like, "Hey, listen, do you like your legs?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure." They're like, "Do you want to keep them?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You're not scoring 20 tomorrow. Thanks a lot." I'm telling you, it's gonna trip you out. It's a
man.
Great. If you like Goodfellas, and because it's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, I do. Thank God thank God that as comics, like they haven't figured out a way to
it's
do that to
so
us yet.
Funny bomb tonight.
Do you like that closer?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Do you also love your hands?
Yeah, that's how I hold the mic.
Think about doing that closer without your big old gestures.
Oh shit!
Well, guess what? You do it. Your hands are gone.
I'm bombing. I'll give you the joke. I'm done.
Jeez,
imagine that mafia for comedy.
Yeah, like,
you know,
like
when you really
comedy
talk
mafia.
About it like that,
thank God that that's like
not a thing for us.
I mean, there's so many things like that in life that we just don't think about having to deal with.
Yep.
As much shit as there is, and like, you know, bugs or whatever random diseases coming out, and like how many things there are in the world to take us down on a daily basis.
Oh,
like, there's still. It's not as
bad,
I mean,
as that. Yeah, dude, 100%. 100%. And we're lucky we're not in that era, because back in that day, like in Departed and shit, if you owned a business, somebody was going to come to you and go, "Hey, how's everything going? You're giving us, on top of the government taxes, or we will fucking burn this place down."
That's what I hear when girls are like, "I would love to get a time machine and go back and live in the 40s.
No, you
Their clothes
no.
were so cool. Yeah, good luck wearing anything when you're tied to a fucking, I don't know.
They'll fucking murder your ass.
So you want to go to that back in the 1940s, ladies, when essentially you couldn't vote, you didn't have jobs, you didn't like all
of
that?
You want a pair of cement shoes, bitch? You're like, "Oh, yeah, those sound cute." No, they don't, bitch.
Jesus.
They kill people, dude.
Is there a time period you would like to revisit just to meet a hero? Or
oh, wow. That's
who are your heroes? Comedy or not comedy?
Comedy or not comedy? Well, I grew up honestly, well, my mother is just a freaking, she is the, dude, I'm telling you right now, and this is weird just to say, it feels weird coming out of my mouth. The only thing I fear in this life is when, and the way that the world is, she's supposed to pass away first, is when I have to speak when she's gone at like the funeral. I'm telling you right now, because dude, what she did, my dad passed away when I was very, like, when I was 19, 20 years old, smoking 3 packs a day, like a freaking maniac. Wow. She is such a G, because my dad drank and was kind of, you know, a little crazy.
Good dad?
She stuck it, he provided, but wasn't a dad, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of them out there. So she stuck in there, bro, no matter, thick and thin. She's, I literally have told her this, I think that she is a saint. Like, God put her here, and she knows that, she knows it, but she, like, is keeping it from everybody. She is... She's amazing, bro. She is just, I can't even, I got lucky that at least my mom, my sister, my brother are three of my most favorite, amazing fucking people I've ever met. Like, I wouldn't change it for the world. I have aunts and uncles that don't even, they live here, haven't called me, haven't reached out to me. Shitty, didn't fight before I came here.
Yeah.
But she's just, she's the shit.
What does she think of your comedy career?
Dude, she's come to my show, Adam. I did a show, I think in Boston at some theater, and I brought her, I brought my brother, my sister. Dude, I brought my niece who was like maybe 9, 10, and you know me, I'm kind of out there.
Yeah.
She was like, she was shocked, but it was like, she was like, oh my God, that's my uncle. Like, and I know, like, you have your nieces.
Yeah.
I have two little maniacs that are growing up now that I freaking adore, and I know that you are too, but imagine them at 8, 9.
I almost,
and I'm watching you at that age.
But can, like, I be honest? Like, my 6-year-old nieces want to see me do stand-up so bad, and they've seen me, you know, on TV a little bit, but at 9, I almost feel like that's... You have enough self-awareness
to get it.
And also, you're so beautifully animated and fun on stage that I feel like if you just took out curse words, a 9-year-old could watch you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right. Because I know you're, I mean, yours, a couple, maybe 2 or 3 more years, can watch you easily. 100%.
Well, I mean, I love that confidence, but, you know.
You know what I mean? Because you're, no, because it's fun, but because, I mean, think about it. They're going to listen, but you're very impressionable at that age.
Yeah.
Like, in their head, imagine, like, they're going to go to school and somebody's going to be like, shit. And they're going to be like, well, my fucking uncle says, fuck.
Well, yeah. Well, and you hope that maybe they just quote your bits on the playground so you can get some grassroots marketing. And they can be like,
so,
it's going viral.
Where'd you hear that? On the About Last Night podcast. And everyone at recess is like,
what's so funny? Yeah, dad, mom, guess what I heard? That's funny.
Vinny and I had a really great... Vinny, why I love you so much is that you are a selfless, like... I mean, one of the reasons why I think we all love being comics is the, like... The conversations that you can have off stage that are, and just socially, that are fun and funny, that aren't coming from somebody who's maybe worked a 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So that they're not talking, like, our days consist of more interesting shit because it's just the nature of the business. And you love to, like, tag.
I love
and,
that.
Like, just, Vinny, I'm just basically telling him, I don't know how we got on the, in this world, but it was maybe about just our nieces and whatever.
Yeah.
She's 9.
My there's one that's 1 year old, but the other one's like, oh, she's older now. She's 14, 15, I think. She just went into high school. She's a freshman in high school. Oh, dude, she's half white, half Middle Eastern. She's a freaking model. She's gorgeous. Oh yeah, trouble. I know, dude. I'm telling you, and it's like she's becoming a woman. I'm like, dude, and she doesn't have a father. My sister is raising her alone because he's a piece of garbage.
Oh,
so
man.
It's like I'm the uncle that's like, yo. Let me explain something to you. And I'm being dead serious.
Ex-military,
and I went.
Yeah.
And I seen her face to face. I go, Kayla, whenever there's a problem, I talk to her, and I'm like, I will fly. It's Colorado. My sister's in the Air Force at Colorado Springs. She's a master sergeant. I go, Kayla, I will fly. We joke around a lot, bro. She's funny. Like, she's like, the whole family's nuts.
That's awesome.
I go, I will fly there and walk into your school and ruin your entire high school. That moment, like, crying, blah, blah, blah. But she gets it because there's no... My sister has to play mother and father. You know what I'm talking about. It sucks.
So does she call you for stuff?
Yeah, I FaceTime her. She's such a freaking...
Try to be a male influence.
Yeah, I have to. I have to. And it's crazy. But you were saying about... We were talking about our nieces.
Well, we're talking about nieces. And I think he just commented on a video I posted. And I said, I just recently went up there. And my sister told me the story that day about how... my niece got in trouble on the playground and got sent to the principal's office.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? Because she picked up a stick and was like playing with it after the whistle blew and they said to go in.
Yeah.
And it just got Vinny and I on this tirade of like, first of all, recess teachers are Nazis with whistles.
Yeah, they are.
Well, because that's their only responsibility.
Yeah.
So like, they're also
recess teachers. Yeah. So anything prior to that that they chose to do didn't work out.
Sure.
Because nobody is on the playground playing kickball and goes, I'd like to be on the other side of this. In 25 years.
I want
to
do this forever.
I want to referee unprofessionally.
That's so fun. She had to be a meter maid.
And my recess teacher was Mrs. Wagner. Shout out if you're out there. Even though you were a little bit too cunty,
you
had a little bit of a beard, but you were sweet and you meant well.
Yeah.
But she, you know, so my niece gets in trouble. For picking up the stick.
But she was having too much fun. You can't
having
have fun.
Too much fun. And also a stick. Vinny goes, it wasn't like, and Vinny goes, and it's again, like, what's so beautiful? He just immediately jumps into my world and goes, it wasn't like she started a twerking circle and was teaching other girls how to
shake
their ass.
And like as the uncle, you're kind of like, oh man, that's funny, but kind of fuck you, Vinny.
Now you're putting that image in my head.
Don't put that thought in my head.
Yeah, his face turned like, wait, come on.
So then my niece goes, this is great. She gets into the office, and when she gets there, they go, why do they send you to the office? And my niece goes, I skinned my knee.
Yeah, she. Oh,
so she lied about the reason that she got sent there,
which I kind of respect.
I respect a lot.
That.
Okay,
yeah.
I applaud you, my niece.
I love you for doing that.
So then we start joking, like, well, then what did she? Because she then commits to like holding her knee.
Sure.
So, like, what did she do? Was she walking all the way to the office, just dropped to one knee, slid on the concrete?
You know what?
A kid sees her doing it, and she's like, "You fucking don't say shit." Like,
you know what?
I've done that before, you bitch. Don't take my shit.
No doubt. Your niece went full like Kaiser Soze.
Oh. Where 100%. She was just like
took the stick.
Yeah, her knee was just like her knee was just taken out. She was walking with a limp, and all of a sudden she gets the Band-Aid, starts walking out of the office. As soon as she's clear, limp goes away.
Oh,
Kaiser Soze.
That's brilliant, dude. She's a good dude. Listen, fuck that. That's good because you're having fun. I'm in trouble for having fucking fun
during
the kid.
And I think she is an old soul, and I think deep down she probably recognized that and goes, I ain't gonna let you.
Fuck with me.
Mrs. Wagner.
Yeah.
Or whoever you are.
Yeah. You bearded cunt.
Just because you fucking had to take this backup position.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck,
you're going to
fuck with me.
That's
so funny. Dude.
That's a tough position to. I can't even imagine my nieces being double digits.
Oh, it's coming. I mean, it's going to come.
Now, your mom is your, I mean, that's your hero.
She's the one. And then, like, comedy-wise, it's, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to.
No, I mean, I'm just curious, though, too. So, when growing up, your mom was, dad passed away in 19.
When I was 19, 20, my mom, and so me, my brother, and my sister all joined the military 1 year after the other.
Wow.
I'm the middle, but the youngest, dude, I got out of high school, I was kind of, no guidance, father didn't really, I had zero guidance, straight A's honor roll. And then
shit.
I was kind of fucked. I messed around for like 6 months after. And then my brother joined the military. And then it was the Air Force. And dude, I just wasn't hanging out with the wrong. I was, you know, East Coast, a couple of gangs here, and just acting stupid.
Yeah, where in New York?
I was from Yonkers, New York.
Yeah.
And then then grew up in New Britain, Connecticut. And then, dude, New Britain, Connecticut's pretty freaking nuts. They're insane. People, there's all crazy gangs. There's Puerto Rican. It's a big smorgasbord of people. And it's pretty ghetto, bro. We didn't have that much money, even though my dad was an electrical engineer. My dad was smart. Is hell, bro. Spoke fucking 7 fluent languages, but just dude, amazing math genius. Like, I'd bring home math problems and he'd solve it. And I look in the back of the book, I go, no, you're wrong. And I swear to you, he'd go, no, the answer in the back is wrong. I'd go and tell my teacher. My teacher's like, that is wrong. How the hell? And I'd be like,
you're like my niece.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, well, I feel like, you know, I did a little something
back whatever,
there.
Whatever. And he was like shocked and amazed.
Yeah.
This is like senior year high school. So, we all joined back to back, and then basically, dude, once we left, my father, you know, my mom, that's when it happens, like, when you all join the military, like, my parents were, like, they wanted us out, leave, but then my mom told me one day, they're in the car driving, and they, like, looked in the back seat, and we weren't there, and, like, it was, like, an emotional, like,
they
were both, like, crying and shit, but then he passed away and left her alone. I just got lucky that all my family's on the East Coast, my brother's there. You know what I mean? He got out of the military. He went there. And I mean, it was weird. Like, we were all there. Like, we all saw it. Me and my brother saw him, like, go. It's trippy, bro. It's almost like when you get into an accident. Like, I got into a motorcycle accident. It's like everything is surreal. There's so much adrenaline. Like, you actually are like, is this really going on? Like, is this really? It's trippy as hell.
Now, why did you join the military in the first place? I know your little sibling joined, but just.
I literally, I was gonna get in trouble. I was gonna go to jail or do something stupid, and I was just not doing anything. I didn't have no motivation. I had nothing that I really wanted to do.
Now, was that your decision to join? Did someone else suggest
it to you? Pressure from my mom and them really wanted me to join. But then I remember, dude, I was playing football in some park on the East Coast, and I went to tackle somebody, and his elbow hit my forearm, and I broke it. I come home, and my mom's like, "I knew you did this because you didn't want to join." I go, "Mom, I broke
it's
my
football.
Yeah, my radius is cracked. I didn't mean to do it." But then I finally joined, and then my sister joined, and then my brother got out. My brother was training dogs in Iraq for like sniffing bombs. Shit. And
how do they train dogs to do that? Because every time I'm at the airport, by the way, even when I don't have weed on me. Which now I've gotten, I just have a pen if I bring anything. There's been a few times where I've brought in weed back from Seattle, and it's been in big jars, and it's just chilling in my backpack.
And you forgot.
And I forget, and then it goes through, and they pull my backpack because I have some voiceover equipment, and there's always this weird microphone I have that gets always checked. And I went through one time, and I had weed just chilling in the backpack, and the person opens my backpack and goes, "Well, you definitely can't have this." And I go, "Oh, no."
Oh, my God.
The light flashing before my eyes, and they pull out the microphone, and the guy goes, "The fuck is this, man?"
Oh,
I go,
my God.
A new voiceover. A new voiceover. That's not
last night.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever thought about buying a Hyundai, but I'm the guy.
Oh my god, dude.
So,
I would shit in my pants.
But even when the dogs walk past me, I get so nervous. Yeah. But even when I know, and it's also
sure,
they judge.
Enough times I've had weed, dogs will. I've never even done coke, but a dog will walk by me, and I go, "Do I have coke in my backpack?" Because I get so paranoid. Because the dogs make me nervous.
Yeah. So the cops, because they're cops. To me, they're freaking cops. Well, if you shoot a dog, you're going to jail for killing a police officer.
No way.
Yes, dude.
That's real.
Let me explain. So, dude, I don't trust. Well, I'm saying I don't trust. Cops make me nervous. Those German shepherds make me. Dude, I swear to you, I smoked once. I got ridiculously high, and I had weed. And, dude, you know when you have a blunt or a joint in your pocket? It's like you have an aura of you. And I dropped off at LAX at like 5:30 a.m. to try to be like, "I'll beat everybody. I'll come early." Dude, doors open. There's two cops talking, and I swear to God, I try to walk around them, and that canine drug sniffing fuck looked at me, and dude, like, I was tripping. Like, he gave me like a look like he was like,
he said,
couldn't believe.
He said woof, but you heard.
I heard,
"Hey Vinny,
are you high?"
Yeah.
"Are you high?" And dude, I was talking, I'm like, "Yeah, motherfucker, I'm high, shut up."
How do they train them? Would he ever tell you?
This is what he told me. He goes, they're 100%, all they care about is the ball. Like, whatever the game is, that's where they teach them, like, look, find it. We're going to go play. Dude, they drool for that ball. My brother told me, like, they train them to worship that thing because they want to play. Like, they're doing this work for you. It's not even a treat. It's the ball. Where the fuck? And he had, like, a little tennis ball that they would destroy.
I wish life was that simple for us.
Oh, my God.
Where that ball was everything.
That's it. Not women, not just where's the ball?
I was going to say, like, that'll be one of those, like, James Lipton type of questions. Like, what is the ball in your life? And you're like looking at him like,
that's deep.
The health of my family. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, but after that.
What's the real ball?
What's the real ball?
All right, pussy, James.
Yeah. But, and then I thought about it. My mom, that's fucking brilliant, by the way. My brother was, whatever. He was in, during like the war, he was over there, and it's a bomb sniffing dog, right? Like in Afghanistan. And what people don't realize is, dude, you know how insane that is? You have a dog that's looking for the explosive. Yeah. You're walking with this son of a bitch. If he finds it, bro, you better hope nobody. It's such a tricky. And when they see it, they stop and they sit and they're like, "All right, where's the? I want the ball." And they won't stop until they have that. Yeah, yeah. That's what they're thinking of.
How long was your brother over there for?
My brother was in the Air Force. I think the military altogether. I want to say 9 to 10 years. I got out after 5 because I was in for 4. Mm-hmm. But then 9/11 happened and the government Bush put a stop loss, which means. Ready for this? You have a job. We can't afford to lose anybody. Even though you're retiring tomorrow, you're going to stay indefinitely till we say you could leave. That's what happened with me. Like, they go, no. 9/11's here. We're going to everywhere. You can't leave. And I was like, what? I was leaving in like a week.
Really?
They're like, you're staying here. It's called stop loss. It's a legal presidential thing where they sign where they're like, you're not going anywhere.
We need people.
Yeah, that's imagine like tomorrow you retire. And they're like, no, Brad, listen, corporate. They said that you have to stay because we can't lose one more.
So we need comedians and you're going to Dayton.
Yeah, 100%. And like, that's not going to make you disgruntled. Like, you know how pissed off, like, hundreds of thousands of people were like, I don't want to I don't want to be here.
Yeah, I worked this hard so I could get out.
I did my time.
And then now I'm at, wow.
So your mom, you get to a point. I mean, straight. But you said straight A's. So how?
I don't know what happened.
What went?
To be honest with you, there was a period where I didn't even see my guidance counselor. I didn't see anybody.
Well, the passing of your dad must have had an impact on
that. Big okay. time.
So
big
you were
time.
So you were straight A's before while he was alive, and then yeah. that just fucked you up.
Yeah, it fucks you up. It really fucked me up. And then not have. And it's weird to say it. A lot of people like see psychiatrists and to get. I mean, I know, like, you could tell what the problems are. Like, if your mom doesn't give you the love, it's a different problem. And your father, there was no, like, he was there, but he wasn't there. My mom was the 100% the love. Yeah. She was just pouring it, dude,
yeah.
so much so, that yeah. guess what? We needed his, which it was very, very minimal, but hers was so dope.
Yeah, so you had the unconditional love in your life, but yeah. not necessarily the. Structure, and the hammer, from the guidance.
100%.
You need right. both, man.
You
like,
do.
It's so,
you
I mean, do. I mean, again, I think there's a lot of people, I mean, I guess orphans I'm speaking of,
yeah.
Who, you know, some people grow up with neither or are raised by a relative. Yeah. But
they give them that love.
And you know, like, I'm in a similar position as far, I mean, not dead and past, but like splitting when they were nine and yeah. like being sporadically, but like a giant chunk of life were just not there at all. And then my mom overcompensating, but being just a saint and the best. But there are definitely a lot of things where I'm like, you know, and things happen the way they're supposed to. I think, yeah. you know, you probably speak to the same thing where you're yeah. like, I'm, you know, I am who I am because of what you go
100%,
through.
You're right.
But you can't help but wonder, like, yeah, I wonder, like, if I had,
yep.
you know, 25 to 30 with a dad, like, yep. what would have,
right.
you know,
right.
Jewish NBA player.
100%, bro. 100%.
Just shoot a couple more free throws after
you
school.
You never know, dude. No, and then you start thinking of stuff like, wow, like, what would he have thought of me doing stand-up?
Totally.
But then, see, I kind of like your attitude because it's like, dude, if he was still here, maybe I wouldn't be sitting right.
Right.
Because I probably would have just stayed in the military and been just, you know, because I was, dude, I was on the Air Force. I was nasty, bro. I was on like this Air Force shooting team where.
What?
And this is weird because I'm Middle Eastern. I'm a sniper, not sniper, I'm sorry. I'm a marksman expert in the 9mm and the M16. Like, right, with handguns, I'm nasty.
What?
And I have 3 guns at my house, but I'm just, I like shooting just because I like shooting, but home protection is one thing. But, dude, I'm just really, really good.
Have you beaten Duck Hunt? That's the real question.
To be honest with you, up on the TV screen or all the way in the back? When people are like, you're cheating, fuck you, bro. I have it right on it, and I still lost. I never actually beat Duck Hunt.
Dude, that was one of my first jokes where I go, if you, like, Duck Hunt was always fun, but everybody always cheated. They always hold the gun up to the TV. I go. There was always one kid, though, who sat, like, 20 feet behind the couch or showed early signs of being a serial killer because he was like, I'm going to lay out. And then he'd knock out, like, six or seven ducks and be like, take that, grandma. And you're like, what the fuck? Like,
did you just say grandma?
It's like, I should not be friends with him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But wow. How do you even, I mean, first time you pick up a gun.
Jason Bourne shit.
Oh, yeah. It's sick. So listen, if anything, God forbid, happens, I'm going to give you guys my address. Come to my fucking house, dude.
Obviously, dude.
I think of that all the time.
How,
come to my house.
But you, I mean, how do you even, so you get in the, walk me through, because I know nothing about
it. Okay, so when you join the military, they basically strip you down of everything. The first day is putting you in, everybody literally takes off you're in your underwear. It's called a shakedown. Well, they shave your head, so you're all uniform. It's brainwashing, bro. It's really brainwashing. They take off all your clothes, so you're standing there in your underwear, and all your shit that you brought is on this bed. And, dude, I got in trouble the first fucking day really, really bad. It's my.
You were checking your MySpace.
No, no. I'm standing there, and I join with my best friend. My best friend, Jamal, growing up, he's standing next to me. We joined together. We were both fucking up.
Do a lot of people do that?
It's called the buddy system. Some people. Yeah.
They encourage
some people
it?
Do, well, not because recruiters love it. Because well, they're sure. Dude, bring your friend. You guys can have fun. It's not fucking fun.
Yeah, you can go in together.
Come on. Yeah, you'll eat together. You'll march. Fuck you, dude.
You'll march together. Like, that's some sort of bonding.
Yeah, dude, they're pimps. So, and it's the first day, dude, all the instructors are on the other bay, like another room. And, dude, I tell my friend, I'm like, Jamal, look. And my boy's like, he knows me, dude, Adam. He's like, Vinny, don't fucking do it. I'm like, if you don't look, I'm gonna do it. Look at me. I'm gonna get loud. I just start dancing, bro, in the middle. Think about there's, I swear to God, and there's other people from like Nebraska, and they'll have that look like, dude, stop, you're gonna, I'm like, man, fuck you guys, I'm dancing. As I'm doing that, an instructor walks by, a little Mexican dude, and he goes, motherfucker. And dude, I turn white. He goes, get the fuck over here. I walk over there. He brings the whole 100 people standing around me. I'm in my underwear. He goes, you think you're fucking funny? You're East Coast guy. They're all yelling at me, spitting in my face, like hats hitting me. And he goes, you stand next to him. He goes, you start doing your dance bullshit. And like, dude, you're on this. I'm like, sir. He's like, dance right the fuck now.
No,
so I just start doing that regular two-step. He goes,
do other shit. So I'm doing like...
You're like, no prob, dude. I got the running man, I got the robot. Yeah.
And then I'm doing like the girl grind Jamaican dance. And he goes, all right, you keep doing that, you little bitch. And he goes, you, cheer him on. Picture me doing like that, like a ass dance
right.
with a straight face. And my boy's going, go Vinny, go Vinny.
Are you laughing in your head?
No, I'm crying. I'm dying. I'm in underwear, little ass, tiny white little dick. Everybody's looking. All the people are looking in fear, but the instructors are shitting in their pants, dude.
That was
day one. So now I'm already marked for death. So
wait, they're shitting in their pants like
they're the laughing their asses off. Okay, they fucking are.
So they love you.
They love that they got me because now I'm their bitch for the entire time. Every time they saw me, they'd go, psst, psst, Oshana, go. And my friend would be like, fuck, I'd have to dance, straight emotion. And he'd be like, go, Vinny. In church, Adam, on God's my witness, in church, in line, ready to go get communion. He's like, hey, because they come with us, right? He's like, I'm like, what? He's like, go now, do it. And I'm in line, like, just doing this. And my boy's like, I swear to God.
And you know what? When you
have like a viral video.
Oh, my gosh.
When you don't do it voluntarily, it's not funny.
No, it's not funny. Yeah. So then.
Like, I want to choose when I break it down.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, no, just go. So. The basic training is now they strip you from everything. All it is folding clothes, doing this. It's making you meticulous and like everybody's cleaning the bathroom. Everybody's doing this. So they make you go through these little tasks and it takes like a bunch of weeks teaching you how to march. Everything is team. Everything is team and attention to detail. But dude, when I tell you they freaking break down your mental, everybody gets brainwashed. A couple of people don't do it. They get pissed off. They bounce.
What are the true benefits of how that translates to being in the battlefield?
I swear to you, I was like, dude, what is tweaking my socks? Because, dude, you have to wet your socks, iron them, and then the line, it has to be flush against the wall of the drawer. Or the toss-in.
I'm wearing different socks right now. I wouldn't last 15 minutes.
I have no underwear on right now. I swear to God. I don't get... Oh, dude, it's ridiculous.
Oh, really, do you?
I have no underwear.
Fucking dance, bitch.
Sir.
Wow. But, he is ingrained with that.
So I guess it is the attention to detail. Also, it seems like it is to hone in... What your thought to get rid of the outside and 100%. Make you focus up so that when you are hopefully not like but in like
in some shit and you don't ask questions you're right you're meticulous just,
yeah, exactly.
You won't fall asleep hopefully you're on your point you know that this is your job you're not gonna fucking slack because it's almost like Pavlov's dog you know that you're gonna get slapped if you
so you do that you take instruction
very well and made me see dude that, and you're right that made me kind of. The man that I am now because I don't fuck around. I don't miss appointments. I'm on point. I didn't have a father, but the military basically played the dad role. You know what I mean? Getting older.
Yeah.
It's crazy though. But I mean, I wake up 15 minutes before everything. You have to be, it does make you very, very meticulous, but they do knock down your personality. You're not yourself.
I was going to say, yes, it's amazing. No, sir. When I first found out that you had that background, I was floored because you're so charismatic and so personal and so funny. And I'm like, from what I've seen from movie and TVs and from the handful of buddies I know from high school who've been and came back, dude, stripped of personality is an understatement.
Yeah, you're right. They're not themselves. It's somebody else.
So, I mean, percentages-wise, like how many people are in there and then come out and then are comedians or any sort of like entertaining?
Very minuscule. Like I know Sinbad was in the Air Force, right, which is hilarious, but there's not that many. But I had this... It, like, when my father, when we were young, bro, because my dad drank a lot, he was an alcoholic, he'd bring all his friends over. My dad was like, he would host, everybody would come there. My mom would have to be like the freaking, the cook, the this. She was amazing, bro. He always brought everybody.
So you have positive memories with him.
Well, this is the memories are like this. He'd be drunk, he'd call me over, and he'd be like, Vinny, just stand in the middle of the room, and he'd be like, just do funny shit. And I honestly don't remember what the, I probably do like acts of like George Carlin. I would do stupid shit and they would laugh. Cause dude, imagine they're 40-year-old drunk dudes watching like a fucking 10-year-old act like a retard.
But you're just hearing laughs.
I'm just getting laughs. So I was like, yeah, this is fun.
Is cool. And my dad's approving of me.
It's also attention. It's attention. 100%. It's positive.
Yeah. And you're getting it from somebody that doesn't really. Give it to you, but then these people were lying. I remember them lying. I don't remember exactly what I was doing, but
so that's where you guys had moments. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't have any like one-on-ones with him, maybe.
No,
like, do you remember any advice he gave you or anything?
Nope, never, bro. Is that crazy? I do remember one time him coming home and my brother was sleeping. We were shared the same room. And I was like playing a video game and like he came home, you know, from drinking, whatever. And I heard him come in. I would act like I was sleeping, and he came to my bed.
kiss my head. Like, it was weird. He wouldn't do it like if I was awake, but right. kiss my head, caress my head, kiss my brother, and then walked out. I know he was drinking, yeah. but I didn't wake up. I just stayed like, it was weird. Imagine if I woke up like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, I wanted to kiss you. I'm like, oh, fuck.
So you make his buddies laugh, and then yeah. after you get out of the military, like, when do you start to... what happens? Like, where does comedy come in next?
Okay, so you know, this is, you're gonna laugh. I was in Great Falls, Montana, stationed at a nuclear missile base, and yeah,
best that, and brightest.
Me, I had top secret clearance. They trust me.
How often do you even think about all this?
I don't.
Stuff?
This honestly, if I do a bit on stage and I talk about just the shooting or whatever,
you tap back yeah. into it for
this,
a minute.
This, like, the fact that talking with you guys, it's almost like holy shit. Like, I was at a nuclear missile. I saw warheads like looking down and seeing the top of the. Head of like, I can, all the missiles are like yeah. where I was at.
It's like I can hit a couple buttons and you know,
dude,
end the world.
You can shoot if you wanted. They have to trust the shit out of you. Like
yeah.
they this is how it's the PRP program, personal reliability. When you have top secret clearance, this is they go back into your past. I'm at the mall in uniform. Just came home to see my family. My fifth grade math teacher, Mr. Bonaparte, if you're out there, sees me and he goes, "Hey, Oshana." Proud of you. You're doing, you know, the military. He goes, what are you into? And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, somebody called me from the government. And they were like, do you think this kid would ever grow up to be like a terrorist or do shit against the government?
Wow.
And I was like, what? I was like, what'd you say? He's like, no, you're cool. He's like, you were a dick a couple times. But
yeah. I mean, I told him about that. So, you know.
Yeah, you cheated on something once, but yeah. you're a good dude. I was like, wow. Dude. Yeah, they got to trust you because the biggest threat in our country is the insider threat. You know that, right? The terrorists and all that, whatever. Yeah, they're out there, but
we know
we're the biggest threat.
Yeah, we know it's coming from the outside.
Thank you. We turn on our.
Well, I mean, 9/11 conspiracy, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
I heard. I mean, fuck.
I've heard some crazy.
Somebody, where was I? I think it was a podcast or something I heard recently where somebody was like, Bush knew it was up. Like, you see the way that like they walked in and told him, and he didn't even flinch.
That was kind of weird. That was weird though. Like, dude, everything's going down, and you just go, finish that book, because that little right? girl they were reading a book for. If shit, it's a fan. You got to respond. How about this? You have to, especially in our age, bro. I'm 37 years old. I don't trust anybody with government or politics. I just don't. I can't think about it too much because it's too much to dive into that hole and then go. Because, dude, Bush is a billionaire. He played the game of being an idiot beautifully. Because to be a puppet, people, because, dude, they can't point at the people that are really running the country. They got to go. Bush, he's not making real decisions, bro. Cheney and Rumsfeld are the guys
yeah,
that
they
were like
loved that
100%. Dude, people talk shit about Bush. Mm-hmm. He is till this day brilliant. He played the idiot. He deserves an terrorist. He played that game beautifully. People are like, look at this. It's all his fault. He's the perfect scapegoat.
He didn't give a shit.
He's worth a couple $1 billion. You know his dude. His father is and his mother are still alive. How's that? They have to be aliens. Everybody in my family's dead.
No, they're drinking that shit water. Yeah.
They're drinking that Bill Gates shit water.
Dr. Gates. Caca water. Dude. So fucking
brilliant. His dad went skydiving
last
year at like age 94
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, he's like 60. He's like 70, Bush.
I'm like, what? What blood of the virgin do I have to drink?
What the fuck?
I'll go skydiving when I'm 90.
Please, dude. And not die? Like your heart not stopping?
Yeah.
Okay, so you stand up enters your brain or comedy in general, like
I love, dude,
because you loved it all the time.
Oh my god, when we were kids, George Carlin, my father, you know, a lot of people are like, we had to hide in the basement with the record. That wasn't my era. My dad was so drinking and didn't give a shit, dude. We would sit there and watch all of George Carlin's 1 hour. Wow. Like live in New York, yeah. Jamming all those specials, and dude, he would be in freaking tears. My mom, because this was like the only moment that we were all actually together and laughing at something all together. That, you know what I mean? Because it's always weird. Because he was always the like alpha, angry, drinking or hungover mm-hmm. dude. He was just a provider, bro. So yeah. When that comedy was happening, it was almost like holy shit, like what, like,
and that brought you guys all together.
That was those moments. Yeah. And weird enough, because my mom and dad are from the Middle East. Football. I'll never forget when the Giants, when Scott Norwood missed a field goal.
Yep.
Buffalo Bills against Giants. Mm-hmm. We're going nuts. We're all crying. My mom runs in. She has no idea. Because of our excitement, she's crying. So we're all like in a circle crying as a family for the first time. And I'm like, Mom, why are you crying? She goes, I don't know. Just everybody's crying.
God.
It's like it's a moment.
Man. Beautiful.
Like, sports and comedy, bro. I'm telling you.
And you know what? It's why sports are so fucking great. Yep. Like the heartache that we've all experienced from our teams.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, the I mean, hey, that Super Bowl 2 years ago for me.
Oh, my God.
Single-handedly one of the worst days of my life.
Oh, my God.
Was the NFC Championship almost worse? Did Brad Williams comment on my Facebook page when it was seemingly over?
Oh, don't you hate – how much you hate him at that moment?
Literally, my chest is open. My heart is beating outside of my chest, and Brad – takes a dart, walks up to it, sticks it in, and then signs his name with the dart. Like,
with pinpoint accuracy. And then the Seahawks just happen to come back and win. But
yeah, but
damn.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, but so
but in that moment, you read that comment and you're like, wow, all right, I know you just said my mother was a bitch, but hold on, this guy insulted the Seahawks.
Brad's fucking dead.
The only moment where I ever literally, if Brad was near me, would have punted him over the uprights like a football was that moment. Love this guy like my own brother.
Of course.
But in that moment, I was like, if he was here and said that, or if he wrote that from the bathroom and then walked out, I would have locked him in the bathroom.
And just kicked him once. Oh, my God. How angry do you get? We get fucking passionate. We get invested.
Yeah. So stand up then enters your brain at one point.
And then I saw, so I was in Great Falls, Montana, and there was a place called Eight Balls or some shit. Dude, I live in Montana. It's shit. It was horrible. People talk about cold, Brad. It's negative 60. It's horrible. All right. And it's the only thing. It's why this city, this town survives. Like Missoula and Butte and Billings, and they're happening places. This place is just one road, 10th Avenue South. It's really horrible. And this night was packed. They had a comedy night. And dude, I saw like comics come in. I had no idea who they were. They were making everybody freaking piss in their pants. And I was like, I saw that and I was like, I'm leaving the military to do that. And watching my mom laugh when I was younger, I was like, you know what? Because she dealt with a lot of shit. My father was nuts. She's laughing. She's forgetting about her pain in her life. I want to do that. That's what I was like. Whoa. That's what I want to do. And I did it. And I literally, bro, I got out of the military. The military wanted me to sign the contract for 6 more years for 60 grand. Like, here's your, as soon as that stop loss happened. Instead of 4, I did 5 years. The day that they were like, all right, guys, we're lifting it. It was like Friday. That Monday, my colonel, everybody came in. They forcefully, because, dude, they spent millions on me on training and this and that.
Yeah.
Here, sign the. So I was like, I swear to you, no talking to my mom, no family, no nothing. I sat there and I took a minute and I went, no, I'm not going to do it. And they were like, what? I'm like, I want to go chase my dream. I want to go be a comedian, an actor. They're like, what the dude, big beef. Next week, I was under investigation from the military. They're like, he's smoking weed. Dude, I didn't smoke till I was 26 years old. Think about that. Drank, of course. I was in the military like a maniac, alcoholic. I'm a chill alcoholic. But I'm not, because there's different levels. I'm in the middle.
Yes. I would use the word professional, but okay.
Thank you, sir.
Have you driven a car through a Wendy's drive-thru? No?
Through it?
Oh, Jesus. All right. I was hoping you'd just say no.
I've fallen asleep in the drive-thru and almost got arrested. Whatever.
Well,
shit happens. But that's neither here nor there.
I may have fallen asleep in my car in the middle of the road, but that typical shit.
Come on. Like, you guys have never. What was I?
Montana. Doing the Montana.
The Montana thing. And
And you saw the comedy night.
Oh, yeah. And then, I didn't sign. I just packed the bag, saw my mom for like 2 weeks, and just literally flew here. And my cousin, Michael David, who's, dude, when you're talking about like how my mom, I have aunts and uncles here that never called me. Like, I don't know what happened. I left to come here because nobody's here except me. Nobody's here. No brother, no sister. I came out here, and they all just basically didn't even invite me to dinner. Zero. And my mom was like, what the? Her sister's here. My dad's brother's here. Like, I'm like, nobody, I don't want nothing from you guys. Just, I want to see you guys. I want to see my cousins. I didn't know what they thought that I expected, but all I have here is my second cousin, Mike, and my cousin Ryan's from New York, my first cousin, but we didn't come until later. But when I first moved here, he invited me. I had his house, sleeping in his house, so you get grounded. And my cousin Mike is the reason that I came out to California. He's like, Vinny, get out of the military. He's like, come here, chase your dream, do it. I would talk on the phone with him for hours, and he goes, come out here and chase your dream. He was very, very instrumental.
Gotta have somebody like that,
100%.
Right?
100%. He goes, dude, he'll sleep on my, he goes, come now, I have a spare room. Come now. Him and his wife let me sleep in their back, in their like little office, bro.
Amazing. Wow. And then, so when, and then you move out here, and then like, cause you, do you have a plan?
I literally, dude, how crazy. I just came out here with, I'm going to do, I saved some money from the military. I was very good at saving. I got on my feet, dude. I started, I drove by the haha and I saw it, dude. I went on stage and I'm telling you right now, and I don't know how yours guys' first time was. Mm-hmm. It was such a rush. I've never felt that adrenaline in my life.
Yeah.
I bombed. Yeah. So hard. It scared me. And then I was like, I got off shaking. I was like, dude, I've been shooting guns and military. And I'm like, wow, that I got to overcome
that, rush.
That. Dude, that was a rush. And it was really, really bad. And I go, I got to get really, really good at this.
Wait, so you said the first time was a bomb or the first time was awesome?
First, God knows how many were just horrible, horrible.
But you know, that's so crazy because I feel like at least there should be one good one in there to make you go, okay, cool. There was some. Were there moments in these bombs? Were so headstrong about doing it.
Talking, and you know, I'm talking like a mile a minute, no drugs, no nothing, just in like so much adrenaline, and then and then finally, like I think I did Uncle Clyde's comedy contest, and dude, you know what I'm talking
Barbara
about.
Holiday.
Barbara, and what was the other guy's name?
I don't know the other guy's name. He's
Eric.
He's little, gonna kill us for not saying.
Yeah, I know.
It, but
I'm a piece of shit.
Back then it was back at the Ice House.
Yeah, back at the Ice House. I went up. And I had to audition, and it was him and my cousin. And, dude, it was so bad at him. I did something where I kicked my leg up. I hit the microphone stand, and it came down in the front row. Nobody was there, like an axe. And, dude, you should have seen the guy's – I can't believe I don't know his name, but it's Barbara's husband. His face was like, oh, my God. And then I went to the next level. I did well. Like, I felt that I'm doing really, really well. And then I went to the main room, which I brought. It was like a bringer thing. I had, like, 15, 20 people. Bro, my jokes got them because I won the contest. And then ever since then, I was like, okay, now I know my cadence, the formulas I'm getting.
Yeah. Do you think your military background had anything to do with it where you bomb, but you're like, no, I'm a military guy. Yeah. I'm like disciplined. I'm going to keep at this. Yep. I'm going to figure this shit
100%.
Out. 100%. Yeah. Because the whole like, don't quit, keep at it. Like,
yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, now like you kind of, we talked about that. Yeah. You're going to go through some shit, but it all comes together. And it all forms who you are. Like
you're
that military background. If you like, cause most comics I talk to that, keep doing it. The first time they do really well, and the second time they bomb, they're like, "Whoa, why was it not like that?" But you said you bombed the first time.
Yeah, the first time was just
and just like, "No, I'm gonna figure this shit out."
But you were as animated as you are now.
100%. It was so insane. It was insane. My heart. I've never felt my heart race that much before.
And
you've always been one of those high energy guys.
Yeah, dude. And everybody's always like, "What are you on?" And I kind of get now. I've been getting mad. I'm like, dude, I'm not on anything. You should have seen me when I was a kid. When I was a kid, my mother grabbed me, bro. I'll never forget this. I was 6, 7 years old. She grabbed me close, and she's a saint. She goes, "Vinny, I hope to God," and it scared me because I know God loves her. Mm-hmm. That when you have a kid, it does exactly what the fuck, dude. I would climb the walls. Literally. Like, wow. I was jumping on beds. I was walking at 8, 9 months, she said. Whoa. Walking, jeez. I swear to God. My mom goes, I knew you were going to be like this because you were running around like an idiot when you were a kid.
It's crazy that there are things like that that are like mini signs as babies or young kids where the parents are like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Vinny's on stage, like, running around like that. Like, he was.
He always did that.
Yeah.
And what
he came sprinting out of my vagina.
I knew he'd be a sprinter. He was trying to grab something
on
the way.
Run he had the arms going and everything.
Yeah,
like,
we knew he was going to be a sprinter. He came out of the vagina.
He was doing George Carlin material as he had one hand out of the pussy. So then you get the haha is where you really started.
The haha comedy club, the old one, is where I started, and then. Mm-hmm. Randomly, bro, this is like, I was very, very new. I want to say less than a year. I'm on stage and Shantae Wayans, who I didn't know was Shantae Wayans, goes up to me. And I guess Damon Sr. was looking for something for the show, The Underground.
Yeah.
And she goes, do you have a DVD of yourself? And I go, this is how old we are. No digital, no. It was you had to get a DVD, record yourself and put it on a DVD.
Right.
And I go, no, but I'll do it tomorrow. She doesn't tell me who she is. I don't know who the hell she is. So I tape it. I give it to her. Dude, I get a phone call and it's a producer. And they're like, we want you to come in to read for the show. And I go, yeah, 100%. The first audition I've ever walked into, I walk in, Damon Wayans Sr. sitting in the front. It was in one of these like actor studio workshops on Lancashire in North Hollywood.
I don't know about you, but I do know. Like,
you know.
I mean, hero for me. I mean,
in Living Color. Come on.
Oh my God.
I mean, SNL was very instrumental, I think, in all of our lives. But I think there's also, like, in Living Color
was our era.
Was our era, and it was just a little bit. The fact that they were all like off book was huge for me, because then I could get way more invested in the characters, because I was like, I didn't see them looking at anything.
100%. Which kind of throws me off with SNL.
Totally.
Like, and you guys don't practice?
Yeah, I mean, and just the characters and the crew, and it was a little grittier, and Damon was just unreal.
Ridiculous.
So now you're here, and he's there.
And he's in the front row. Dude, so I walk in, and I see the longest. He had, like, yellow shoes. He's very stylish. Dude, and I walk in. Dude, imagine walking in your first audition, and he's in the front, and there's three other people in there. And then I see Shantae. I'm like, hey, Shantae. So that calmed my nerves a little bit. But, dude, I'm reading improv with Damon Wayans Jr.'s boy, Shane Miller, and we're doing like this, they gave us like sides for this gay scene. It's like, it was like a gay couple, and it's just, we were spoofing some, like King of Queens, but back then, I don't know what the name of it was, but dude, we walked in there and nailed it, and it was my first one, and I felt good. I was nervous. 2 days later, I'm like in my studio, shitty, like not feeling good about life, and they were like, hey, how would you feel if you were gonna be on a Showtime show with Damon Wayans? And I was like, it was insane, dude.
And for those of you who maybe not recognize the name of the show, Comedy Underground was like this, it was essentially like a new version of In Living Color.
It was.
But on Showtime, the sketch I remember was the Balls Out Jeans,
ridiculous. Ari Spears wrote that and goes, yo, dude. And I met him. I met Aries on the set. He was insane. He goes, yo, dude, I wrote this. I think you'll be the only one that'd be down to shoot this. Are you down? I go, a 100%.
That's one of the funniest things
I think I've been a part that I did.
Balls Out Jeans, for those of you who don't know, they're jeans for men.
Yeah.
And that have your balls out. And for the sketch, your guys' actual balls
were
out.
While we're on set, Damon Wayans Sr. said, and he goes, listen, I'm not messing around. He goes, you guys are using, he goes, your balls are going to be out, or you're not doing, he goes, it has to be, because the prosthetics would have looked like shit. So when you watch Balls Out Jeans on YouTube, all of our balls are real. At one point, and I've never laughed. Dude, I'm telling you right now, it still makes me laugh now. Damon Jr. sitting on a stool, we're at the bar, and he's crushing his nut. Like, he's dancing, and they're swelling up like balloons and stuff. Oh, my God,
wait,
dude.
Wait, what was the other one that you posted recently that was with you guys with tits?
Oh, yeah, me and Damon Jr. were trying to pitch a show a while ago. It was like, I forgot the name of the show, like the frat, like a fraternity, like a sketch show. And we shot, we always were talking about, like, dude, if we had tits, we'd get into everybody. It's not fair. So these two guys, you know, they go and get
into
tits.
By the way, a legitimate concern and comment, because, hey, ladies.
Listen to this.
They I mean, there's been bits about it from, I mean, Greg Giraldo has an amazing bit about it, about wanting to get out of traffic tickets by squeezing his balls together and being like, I'm sorry, officer, was I speeding? I mean,
I heard that.
But it is, so to you to bring it to life with this sketch, and if you haven't seen the sketch, YouTube it, Brad.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you the link. You told me your buddy who works at Jim Henson Creature Shop.
Jim Henson's Creature
made the tits on these guys.
He made the tits.
Brad. They look like real tits.
And
I would love that.
Oh, Brad, you haven't seen it. And Brad, while he's putting them on, like literally, because we were sweating. So throughout the day, it kind of, the prosthetics started coming off. And we shot it right, because you know how it is. You take hours to shoot. Dude, at one point, I'm sitting there, and I'm not, they're real.
Like bouncing.
Dude, they felt so good. I'm not, I got hard. I'm
touching you.
You have to. I was grabbing, now I know how, what's his, Caitlyn Jenner, dude. Caitlyn Jenner could just do his own thing. He could titty fuck himself. So I was like, they felt so dope. Dude, girls were coming on set like, oh my God. Like, you could see how.
Who's your doctor?
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm like, it's Jim Henson.
Same guy who the same way who did Bert and Ernie's fucking hands.
You ever heard of Kermit the Frog?
His doc.
Oh, dude, but he's going to send it to you. It's guys with boobs, but just.
It's unreal. And here's the reason why, like, certain sketches don't hit. It's like, you got. If you're going to make a certain point or have, you know, the theme of whatever it is, you got to go all in on all fronts.
100%.
When I'm watching it and you guys start talking about it, I'm like, all right, well, let's.
Where are they going?
I'm on board.
Yeah.
But then as soon as you come out, and I'm like, oh, those look like real.
They look good.
I literally racked my brain like, how do they CGI tits? And then they're bouncing. Yeah. And then, I mean, dude, it's like, and yeah.
It brilliant. Was real. They're, dude, that was one of the funnest broke. Days. That was one of the funnest shoots.
And, so, yeah. And now you've been on the road with both Waynes a bunch.
I've been with Damon Sr., me and Damon Jr., like, because we were, like, coming up at the same time. Yeah. We both did shows together. Like, I'd book some, he'd book some, and he didn't give a damn.
Would you almost, the way that, like, I've been, you know, lucky enough to be, like, outside the haha with you and Damon Sr., yeah. and, like, certain, like, just riff circles or whatever, yeah. but, like, being on the road with him, I think we can all attest, like, you know, Brad with Mencia, me with Bobby Lee, yeah. like, you learn from these guys.
100%.
Opening for dudes, like, yep. what do you feel like you really picked up on traveling with Damon
Sr.? Oh, with Damon Sr. was, A, my setups were really, really long. He said, talk, it has to be personal. It has to be about you. And then he said, I'll never forget this. He said, like, George Carlin, he goes, and Richard Pryor, they weren't angry, but they were bitter, but they were upset. They weren't happy about the world. That's where all comedy comes from. I was like, what the hell is going on?
And it was like legit anger. It was
legitimate.
It wasn't like, well, comics are angry, so I'm gonna get angry. No, they actually
feel like they're fed up with the shit in the world. That's where that comedy comes from. Is that fuck this? You know what I mean? And that's where that's where it's funny. And he was right, dude. And my setups used to be really, really long. I cut them down, I condensed them, and then dude, just watching his hour, like him, I got to witness the beginnings, at the haha, and a couple of nights, and then taking it on the road, and then that hour growing from, you know, polished and just becoming like it's a special, and it's like holy shit, you see the wave, and it's
and the guy and, who's so good with characters and act outs, I mean, like and you, I feel like have probably applied some of, I mean, right, I mean, the way that Damon Sr. also too, like, stays in the pocket in characters and stuff, it's unbelievable, mm-hmm. and that just goes to show you that like the commitment, it's like that is half the battle, man, because it's so easy to bail on something.
Yeah, because you're scared, like, you're nervous inside, you're like, fucking not laughing.
To plow through, it's like the shit that like we're all probably missing out on by really staying in something for longer than we're giving
that
us.
Get over that hump of you're starting to sweat, you're like, oh shit, this isn't going good. He doesn't break.
There's times when I'm standing in line at like Subway, and I'm like, and I bail because the line's too long. I'm like, I could have missed out on the greatest sandwich of my life.
That guy could have been a master fucking.
The guy could have fucking cooked me up with double meat, and I didn't have to pay for it.
Right. It's just a wink, like he knows who you are. Fuck, that's a fucking separation anxiety guy. Yeah. And you're like, you got fucking three slices.
Double meat.
You come back to this Subway, you'll always get free avocado. Yeah,
by the way, just so you know how low maintenance I am, if that's what I got and that was my hookup for the rest of my life, I'd be fine with that.
100%. You're good because you're a grounded dude.
He goes, hey, I saw one episode of that show. Not a fan, but I saw it.
Yeah,
and you're here,
and you're good,
and not a lot of famous people come in this Subway.
Perfect,
double bacon for you.
Yeah,
well, I'm Jewish, so it's gonna be double chicken.
Okay.
It's gonna be double chicken.
Yeah. and you say about like your act outs and stuff, and but I just want to comment because your Def Jam set.
Yeah,
when Def Jam came back, that set, my God,
thank you, dude.
That was so polished.
Thank you,
so refined, and your closer, the Chris Angel,
the David Blaine.
Yeah, oh yeah, 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 David Blaine. Yeah. I knew it was a magician. I hated.
I hate all of them.
Yeah, but like that bit just made that audience.
They went nuts. I got lucky because they told us do 7 minutes. I was up there and I was doing really, really well. I did like three other jokes that they cut completely out. So that set. Mm-hmm. It's totally different, but they chopped up and because you have no control editing. It's not like you're in there like, yo, Russell, let me tell you how I feel. But that crowd was electric. And we're at a disadvantage because when I walk out there, I'm not black. So they're like, who the fuck? Who are you? You know what I mean?
But you know what? You were authentic to who you are. And I've told the story millions of times on this podcast, so I won't bore too many people with it. But like the first time I performed in front of a black audience, I tried to be what I thought they wanted, and just
oh god,
shit!
Oh, first time I did it, I hosted for Sinbad. I said, "How y'all feeling tonight?"
Oh shit!
Which is fine to say, "How y'all feeling tonight?"
Yeah,
but I did it in an affected voice, like, and then,
"Hey man,
hey y'all, how y'all doing?
Yo, what up?
Oh shit,
Ontario!"
Oh my!
And then went back into my voice,
and they're like, "Who the fuck was that?"
Yeah, Sinbad, this guy's terrible.
Yeah, and you didn't. I mean, that. Audience, were you scared of that audience? Because they were definitely, you know.
Dude, I felt myself for the first time. Like, it felt like the first time I went up at the hot, like, I was like, because they brought DL Hughley and them, and then we did like this is where you guys are standing, this is your time, what are you guys wearing? And then me and Damon Jr., like, we're both, dude, we're really, really green. And we're like, dude, this is our first television. We went all around town for a month practicing that 7-8 minutes. I think we did 10, but then we found out it was going to be like 7 or 8. Dude, I was like, oh shit, my hands are, I was like, oh my God, I'm really nervous. But then, yeah, you guys, once you walk out there and you felt that crowd, forget it, bro. Like, like an idiot, I should have stuck to the 7 or 8. I went over, and I knowingly, when they told us don't do it, I think D-Ray Davis did it as well. I was like, man, I'm on a roll. I don't give a shit. And,
well, because you feel that audience, and you're like, I never want to leave this.
Yeah, I love it. People will never understand that high when you're in the pocket. When you're riding that wave, I know surfers feel it. I know people on an airplane, and to each his own. When you're killing on stage and every word that comes out of your mouth, you can't go wrong. It's like,
oh, there's nothing
like
it.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know even what is comparable to it.
I don't know.
When Dr. Phil gets through to an obese woman and is like, I think you are going to change your life. Or when a pilot avoids a dangerous pocket of turbulence, that's why I can sometimes. I mean, when people run the light by 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, but there's certain sets and certain comics where they're destroying so hard, you're like,
you got
to
go,
do a little bit more. You have to. The show needs it.
The audience wants it.
But did Russell Simmons say anything to you that night?
No. Because I went afterwards. Like, you're in this big room where they're serving shrimps and they're doing all this whatever, and people were just, everybody was shaking my hand because they're like, they had no idea. They're like, we didn't expect, because I was like a last minute entry. I think Will Sylvins, a really funny comic from New York, he hit up who's the Def Jam, damn it, I'm an idiot,
Bob Sumner,
and Bob Sumner, he's like, man, get up there. And dude, it was a weird moment because when I auditioned for him the first time, I almost got into a fight with a comic that was doing my joke on stage at the store.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Old school. Yeah, I'm not even going to say names. Where I almost ran up on the stage, dude. And now I'm pissed off because I went on stage. I'm supposed to just do my audition set.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, guys. And I start this joke and I look at the dude. I'm like, my father died of cancer. It was my father died in front of me. And I go, he spoke. He's like, take care of your mother, father, take care of your mother, brother, my sister. And I go, those last words mean something. And I go, if somebody dies in front of you and they speak, remember that way? I go,
yeah.
You'll remember forever. Like, he could have messed with us. He could have been like, hey, guys, I left $10,000 under the, and then I just die. I walk in and the guy's doing my joke on stage and I went, I was livid. What would you two do?
Kill the guy.
I almost killed, dude. And then I go up and I abandon the set, which, what was I going to do?
Yeah.
And I go, hey, guys, so my father just died of cancer. And I was, oh, dude, it was dope. It was dope to feel, but I was like, in my head, I'm like, oh, shit. And he got really pissed. I almost didn't get it. And then I was like, dude, I'm really sorry. This is a personal situation. I had to kiss his ass. And he goes, dude, I understand. Just don't ever do that again. I auditioned.
Go for you. Somebody, you got to pick your battles.
You got to do it. And I mean, it was a weird, because I had to happen.
That's not a what's the deal with airline food joke. That's a very personal joke to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I totally understand you seeing that and being like, no, that's mine. That didn't mean that to you, what that meant to
100%.
Me. 100%.
Oh, man. Before we wrap up, 50 Shades of Black, that was dope.
Yeah, I was in 50 Shades. I actually went for one of the main roles, which was her, Callie Hawks, the main girl's friend who's trying to bang her in the movie. That week, I looked just like the guy. Yankee hat, little scruff. I even shaved it to look like him. I went in there, and I went straight to producer. Marlon was in there. Dude, we were in there. You know, and you guys know, when you're in an audition, and it's longer than 2 minutes, it's good.
Yes.
Riffing, jokes, try this.
Sure. They ask you questions post-audition.
Beautiful. Yeah, what do you think? Do you mind doing it this way? It was a great audition, but sometimes, you don't get it. But Marlon was like,
game.
100%. He goes, well, I'll give you, exactly. They gave it to a numbers game guy, and then they go, Marlon's so dope. He was like, just offered me a role. He goes, do you want to be this character, the locksmith guy? I go, yeah, and our scene's one of the funniest scenes in the movie. So
yeah, and so you're just slowly making your way through every weigh-ins.
I'm almost. Well, actually,
Damon Jr., Marlon.
I think Adam's a weigh-ins, aren't you, dude? You might be. You don't even know, dude. There's so many weigh-ins.
You know what's so funny? I went up to Marlon. Like, I'm again just like such a fan of that family, and I had an acting club. Who's the sister from
A Living Color?
Yeah, who did the out the window? The woman who was like, "But you didn't hear that from me."
I got a fast car. She did the
Tracy Chapman. Yes.
Yeah. Damn.
Who is it? Ben, can you get it for me?
Oh my! I can't believe I'm drawing a blank.
Keisha. No.
No.
Name of the Wayans sister.
Name of the Wayans sister.
Boy, this is a trivia.
Oh my God, she's hilarious.
Yeah.
But you know, she was
in a, yeah, don't be a menace when she comes out. She goes, why? He goes, that ain't your son. She goes, oh, ain't that a bitch? And just walks away. Oh, what's her name? Yeah, Kim. Jeez, I'm Kim. So, if you guys hear this, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Kim Wayne's the shit. Yeah.
You're the best.
I went up to Marlon, though, at I saw him at the Heat premiere. Yeah. We were both getting popcorn, and I was like, what's up, man? And, and he was like, oh, what's up? And I was like, oh, yeah, you're the fucking, because we didn't do any scenes together. Yeah, and he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, good job, man. Yeah, hell yeah. And then Mark Chatel and I were in New York, and we saw Chappelle at Radio City Music Hall. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up back at the hotel where Chappelle was having this after party because we befriended his opener, and we were back there, and we smoked a joint with Chappelle.
Cool,
and Chris Rock was there, and Marlon Wayans. And I went up to Marlon when he was in the hallway, and I was like, I go, what's up, Marlon? He goes, what's up, man? I go, hey, we were in the Heat together. And I was fucked up at this point. Yeah, I just wanted a moment with him. Yeah. And I was like, dude, just don't say anything to him. Yeah, but I was like, it's the same reason why when I like yelled at Beyonce at a Clipper game 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I love
She's walking to the exit, and I was like, Beyonce! Because I thought I wanted a moment with her because I didn't know when I was going to see her again. So I see Marlon, same thing. I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to see Marlon Wayans again.
Yeah.
So I go, what up, Marlon? He goes, what's up, man? And he had buddies with him. Yeah. So it was not the right time. And I go, remember we were in the Heat together? And he goes, okay. And I go, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah didn't match his His okay was like, yeah, man, I'm acknowledging that, but like, I'm with buddies. Yeah. This is the wrong time.
Yeah.
And I said, hell yeah, which
funny. Like, yeah, I'm still happy about
it. In my head, it's like,
it's so funny.
You know, you want so badly, too, to like, once you have like, a little bit of an in.
Yeah, to be cool. Sure.
I mean, I know, Adam, you're very jealous of Vinny's relationship with the Wayans. It's cool.
I want to be one. Dude, my whole life. I call myself White Wayans.
Because, dude, me and Damon Sr. did the haha, the old haha, and he comes off, say, he did a bit about his ex-wife, and it's me, Adam, Damon Wayans, and I forgot who other two people. We're giving him tags, bro, and he's hysterical.
Man, he's dying.
And then it made me laugh. Dude, me and Adam, like, think about this. We grew up watching In Living Color as a kid. I used to go to school. That was the talk in high school, was him wearing that little hat. And now we're standing here outside on Lancashire Boulevard at midnight pitching tags
for 20 to 25 minutes.
We were there for a long time, dude.
And he's dying laughing, and then we leave, and I'm grabbing Vinny, like, what the fuck?
What?
Like,
yeah, it was
this
so
is
dope.
Like, is this like the craziest shit ever? And
that's awesome. That's comedy, bro.
And that's why, if you're not a comedian, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not gonna front the Damon.
If you're one of those doctors without borders, your life is unfair.
Well, okay. I guess I'm just specifically talking about people that work at a laundromat. Although that being said, quick shout out to the Asian women who I do bring my fluff and fold to. You guys are the shit.
You guys are the best.
Even though one time you told me there was gum on one of my shirts, but the way your accent was, it sounded like cum. And I had a 5-minute conversation back and forth where they were like, "There's cum on your shirt.
You're like,
cum.
Can you get it?"
And
out?
I'm like, "Jesus Christ!" I'm like, "How much cum?" And they go, "No, gum." And I go, "That's what I said." It was like an Abbott and Costello, Jew versus
cum.
Vietnamese.
And, then there's like a hot girl there, so you're kind of like, "Yeah, but it was a good amount, right?" Like,
yeah. Was it on the cum?
Very tiny piece. And the inside of the pocket. I'm like, I ain't coming in pockets. No, gum. Gumming in pockets. Yeah.
It's on the collar. It's really good shoot. No. What did you do? But Damon Sr., I'm telling you right now, bro, from everybody that I've met, one of the best, most, I compare him to like my mom, good soul, amazing guy, helped me out more than everything. The whole family did. And Damon Jr., bro, is cut from the same cloth. That guy, everybody that I know that meets him, The next sentence is, God, that guy is a fucking amazing guy.
No shit.
It's a good family.
And it's the thing with Damon Jr. is when you meet him, you almost want to hate him because you're like, oh, I get it. You're Damon's kid.
But he put
you
in the work. That guy grinded,
dude.
He did. Damon Sr. made him go through that
100%. 100%.
You hear stories about Damon Jr. opening for him.
And Kyle Green. He wouldn't even use his name, which was crazy because, that's his open mic name. But it was always funny because people would, they'd be like, Kyle Green. And he looks exactly like his dad. I'm not playing games. If the voice in the head of everybody in the front row could talk, I'd be like, is that fucking Damon Wayne? They're like, Kyle Green, my ass. And then towards the end of the set, he'd be like, you know, he had to let them, dude, he looks like the guy, but he never used that name.
He cut his teeth, and then his talent is undeniable. Like, you can't say he's not funny. You can't say he's not talented.
Good actor, good comedian, really good actor, big great heart. Mm-hmm. Can't son of a bitch.
No, that's you too, man.
Yeah, no, yeah. Thanks,
dude. You got one of the biggest hearts in the fucking
thanks,
business,
brother.
Man.
And I know that you're like me. You like your nieces, and when you see videos like that, you're like, this dude's You're a great.
I mean, all I can say is that I'm going to need you to teach me how to operate these guns because yeah, in 4 years when they're 10.
Oh, and my God. Yeah, and they're beautiful and they're going to keep
beautiful,
forget
and they're
beautiful
and they're like talking about their crushes or like this certain guy when they're like, hey, Jeff, like my friend Jeff in the fourth grade, like, how asked mad me you to get? School dance.
And I get I'm mad. Like, in your head, aren't you like, I don't care if he's six, dude. I'm not playing. I'm like, Who's that?
Vinny, I feel like I'm in okay shape right now, but guess what? 5 years from now, I'm going to be fucking shredded. And I'm going to know every martial arts there is. I'm going to know how to operate every gun, super soaker included.
I got you.
My super soaker is going to be filled with bullets.
Yeah, why not, dude?
Because
they can make those now with the 3D thing. You can make those a gun. Now. You're damn right, bro.
Every
super soaker will be pumped 150 times, so that pressure will blow you across the room. I will just have those things.
And guess what? It's gonna be made with shit water, but it ain't gonna be. It ain't gonna be all the way through the filter. It's gonna be half shit, dog.
Oh.
That's gonna be so funny, dude.
Let's plug all your stuff before we wrap this up.
Oh yeah, so just what is it gonna be? Me just
my, yeah.
Just
yeah,
saw it's just... Vincent Oshana. Yeah. I have a website that's it's kind of new, but whatever. And just follow me on Instagram. It's at Vincent Oshana. Twitter, I'm not really big in it, but my Facebook, I have a fan page now that I'm doing. I've been slacking, but
you got
just follow me. Yeah, follow me.
And Instagram, YouTube, those sketches, those
100%. YouTube,
sketches.
Yeah, YouTube, Vincent, Oshana. Some of them are crazy, but I'm just starting to put out as much content as I can. And I really appreciate you guys having me because I've been wanting to do this. I purposely didn't hear any of your past ones because I wanted to come in here raw. And on the ride here, I'm stoned. In my head, I'm like, do I be funny? And my boy Mark Saratella's like, Vinny, just talk.
You.
It's just you guys being yourselves.
You.
And it's dope. No, this is the first podcast I've ever done.
For real?
So here we go.
Oh,
my podcast
pop your cherry.
Oh,
and you always remember your first.
You goddamn right.
a little weird that you showed up and you put a gun on the table.
Okay, you want to get even deeper. Is Brad supposed to be naked for this whole thing, or did you guys just do that for me? Because I didn't know that it was Brad. Like, was it? I've been waiting for the hey, got you. He's been butt naked. Yeah. Like, is that what you guys do,
Mr. Barnyard, your old teacher? I hit him up on Facebook. I said, "What is Vinny like?" He said, "Naked dwarfs." I said,
"That's not
fair enough."
And I like East Coast accents.
You know what? That's messed up. They weren't supposed to divulge that information, but I'm cool. I'm cool. But, dude, I thank you guys. I can't say thank you
enough.
You'll
come back
you guys
again.
100%.
Yeah.
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 Hey, buy shit water.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.